And a story now about how people sell their guns. 21 states and the District of Columbia require background checks on at least some private gun sales. Still, each year, millions of private gun transactions are completed with no background check requirement. And there's almost no data on how often those guns end up in the wrong hands. But some private sellers do try to be careful about who they sell to. From Georgia, WABE's Lisa Hagen reports.
So this is the pistol here. This is a SIG P229 E2 model. It's a what they call a double action, single action, which means...
John Pander's a retired guy in his 50s who's pretty into guns. We're in a parking lot in Fayetteville, Georgia, outside a competitive shooting match he's headed into.
How much were you trying to sell this for?
I think like $750.
He usually buys his guns new from a licensed dealer. And Pander is a model responsible gun owner. He keeps them locked up in a safe at home. But sometimes the safe fills up.
So it all comes down to space. And yeah, sometimes you want to fund the next purchase.
So when he's got his eye on a new gun, he puts an old one up for sale online. He uses ArmsList, which is like a Craigslist for guns. He sold about 5 guns over the last decade this way. No problems.
I always meet in a public place, mostly Walmart. Parking lots are good. Some people say the police stations or sheriff offices are already a good place to do the transactions.
But recently...
It was late in the evening when I finally got the email. And he says, well, I'm trying to buy a gun for my girlfriend. You know, can we meet at 11 o'clock at this place? And first red flag, you know, for me is late at night.
Pander asked the guy if he has a Georgia weapons license, which would mean he's passed a background check in the past 5 years. And by asking that, he's going above and beyond his legal obligation. Because when it comes to private sales, federal law says you cannot knowingly sell a gun to someone who's prohibited from having one. Turns out, the guy doesn't have a license. So Pander says, what about meeting at a federally licensed dealer to run a background check? Costs about $25. The guy doesn't want to do that.
So at that point, you know, I'm not going to sell him anything.
Again, Pander could have sold that gun without asking questions. That would not have been breaking the law. Researchers think millions of gun transactions take place without a background check every year. Duke University economist Phil Cook has studied how guns make their way from the legal market to the criminal world.
What we know about is quite a bit about where offenders get their guns. And also, we can find out something about the first transaction that gun was involved in.
That information comes from trace data from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and from anonymous surveys of gun owners and convicted offenders. But there's little data on the exchanges that might happen between a legal purchase and an arrest. Cook has surveyed inmates in Chicago prisons. Almost all say they got their guns through friends, family, their social connections.
But it is very rare indeed to say that they made the transaction through the internet.
So do we know who does buy their guns this way and whether or not they could pass background checks?
And the answer, unfortunately, is no.
Deb Azriel directs research at the Harvard Injury Control Research Center.
But it's also reasonable to suspect that one reason that you go to a private seller and get a gun without a background check is because you think you couldn't pass that background check.
Azriel believes prohibited buyers are probably not the majority of people using sites like ArmsList, but she doesn't think they're a group we should ignore. Many gun rights advocates don't want a system that would record all private transfers. If it existed, they argue, the government could come take people's guns away. Georgia, where John Pander lives, is one of 29 states which don't require background checks or gun permits. And he's not comfortable supporting the idea of universal background checks. But he tries to be careful anyway. Here's why.
What happens if he would have used that in a crime? Then, you know, would that guilt be in my conscience if I went and saw, oh, that's the guy I just sold that gun to? So I don't want to be any part of that.
That guy who tried to buy his gun, he's not Pander's problem anymore. It's possible he kept looking for another pistol and someone willing to sell it to him in a parking lot late at night. For Here and Now, I'm Lisa Hagen.
And Lisa's story comes to us from the public media project, Guns in America.